It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me this morning. And also, thank you for the number of you who got in touch with me after last week's show, when I described watching a red-tailed hawk take a California quail out of a covey rise right beneath our feet and before our eyes. I'm glad that connected with so many of you, and I thought since I would try for another story this morning that I watched happen, that you might find of interest. It's not quite as dramatic as that because it didn't happen literally 3 yards from where I was standing, if that, and I didn't have the explosion of a covey of quail getting up under feet, nor the stunning sight of a red tail emerging from a thicket I hadn't even seen it in, and swooping in full flight with the quail and its talons within basically an arm's length of me. What I do have this morning, though, if you want to sort of close your eyes, but if you're driving a car, don't close your eyes, but just envision, I saw a sight which I've seen before, but it struck me this time as really one of those increasingly common sights in nature, which is watching bald eagles harass flocks of waterfowl. 15 years ago, if I were on the radio, which I was, but if I were telling a story about how I watched bald eagles torment a flock of several thousand mallards, it would have been a really, really rare occurrence. Today, the bald eagle population has just exploded in numbers. It's just unbelievable the number of bald eagles that are now prevalent all across the continent. It's a testament to the DDT getting out of our waters and out of everything that was contaminated with DDT, which of course nearly brought dozens, if not hundreds, of species to extinction who fed on animals that were being poisoned with DDT. So the sight of a bald eagle cruising across the sky is no longer one that makes you stop your car, because it's seen fairly frequently, but it certainly is one that still makes you look and say, isn't that a wonderful thing? So last weekend, I was doing what I often do this time of the year. Hunting season is over, and so I made my way with my camera to a river bottom that was full of birds, because once the hunting season ends, birds behave so differently. Much easier to approach, to be near them, and to get, of course, as we move towards spring, their plumage only gets better and better, brighter and brighter. So here I was in a river bottom with lots of cottonwoods and oaks, and in these cottonwoods and oaks lining the riverbank were 2 to 3 dozen bald eagles. It was hard for me to get an exact count on them because they were moving around, but certainly somewhere between 24 and 36 bald eagles were cruising up and down this river. And underneath them, in the river, were 4,000 to 5,000 mallards, a few pintail, but almost all mallards. And what the eagles did was they sat in the trees and they looked down at these mallards, and the mallards would cluster together in the water. It was a backwater, very little current. They would cluster together and just as tightly as they could. And then an eagle would just leisurely come out of the tree and soar above them. And they would scatter on the water. They did not want to get up in the air. It was the darndest sight. Usually when you think of birds, they want to flush on danger. But in the case of hawks and owls and eagles, birds have learned to take flight can be perilous because they can't outfly an eagle. So the eagles would kind of just pass over them in a leisurely way, and the birds would scuttle on the water and move, always tightly packed. And eventually, though, the eagles would drive the birds into flight. Finally, the ducks couldn't take it any longer, and 200 or 300 would get in the air, and the eagles would watch when they took off. Was there a crippled bird? Was there a sick bird? Was there a bird they could catch on the water below them? And as I was madly taking pictures over a couple-hour period, I watched the bald eagles pick off 6 ducks off the water. 4 were drakes, 2 were hens, and this happened within 50 yards of where I was sitting. I could see them in plain view. So the eagles would chase these ducks around the backwater where they were resting, and eventually put them in the air. And then once they got them in the air, they would look down at the water and see what had remained behind, and then they would attack. And often their first attack, as they swooped over the water, was unsuccessful. The mallard would dive, or it would skitter into the brush. It would do anything it could to escape them. But eventually, 100% of the time, they got it. And it may not have been the eagle that swooped overhead when the duck went under the water. It may have been the eagle sitting in a tree that watched the duck go under the water, and then as the duck came up, the duck is watching the eagle that went away, and bam, from its backside, it gets nailed by a bald eagle. And it's just one of those things where 20 years ago, 15 years ago, you couldn't have seen it happen. Now it's commonplace. But in general, bald eagles do not take healthy game. They suppose they would if they were really hungry and if they could, but they really are taking off the sick and the weak. And so that's nature's way of, I guess, being able to feed predatory birds. But it's quite a sight to go sit on the Illinois River bottom or the Mississippi River bottom or wherever you might be listening this morning, where birds concentrate in the winter. And certainly out on the Mississippi, in the pools at Keokuk, and those areas, there's some of the largest concentrations of bald eagles in all of North America. That winter there, and they're eating on fish, and they're eating birds. And it's just an incredible time with nature to watch the iconic American symbol, the emblem that was almost on the verge of extinction, and today is thriving and living in the wild. And in my case, I have lots and lots of pictures of talons out and feet down and wings back and heads extended of bald eagles as they, in front of me last weekend, just tried to take, and successfully so, take ducks that were not going to make it north for the spring out of the system. I'll be back in just a moment, and when I do, I've got quite a bit I want to talk about. One is the deer harvest for the state of Illinois is now out for the year, and it's interesting in its data. Also, nationally, there's some, for the first time ever, more adult deer were harvested than juveniles, large bucks, and we're going to talk about that. Payne County has done an incredible job with land preservation. If I have time, I'm going to talk about that. And I don't know if I'm going to get to it or not, but if I do, I've got a little bit of a story on butterflies and dogs and the evolution of dogs. So thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, and I'll be back after a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here, and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and I'm going to talk for a minute about deer, actually probably several minutes. The numbers are in from the recently completed deer seasons, not only in Illinois, but across the country. And in Illinois, the harvest was up, which is a surprise. Hunters harvested about 10,000 more deer this year than they did from last year. That's about 155,000, which is up from last year's very low number of 145,000. So the trend is moving in the right direction, but it does appear as though hunters in Illinois are really quite upset about what's going on. And I don't know how to describe it other than hunters want to see more deer, larger deer. They want to reduce the number of crossbows or the opportunity for crossbow hunting. This is what surveys say. And the Illinois insurance industry wants to see fewer deer. The Farm Bureau wants fewer deer. And the director of the Department of Natural Resources is kind of caught in the middle. But what we know is that the deer herd in Illinois has declined in some counties dramatically as a result of harsh winters, as a result of chronic wasting disease, as a result of blue tongue. We have a herd in Illinois that's been stressed. And the floods, which I've talked about, of late fall, early winter in Illinois, are not going to help. It has displaced a lot of deer from river bottom areas where typically they overwinter because they have cover and food. Also, because of the extremely wet spring we had in Illinois, most river bottoms did not have a planting of corn in those river bottoms. And as a result, the amount of food available for forage for deer is going to be down. So you have a situation where their habitat, they've been displaced because of the flooding. We did not have a lot of corn in traditional areas where deer feed. Therefore, their health ability to build fat reserves and carry out through the winter, it is compromised. And we have a situation where, in Illinois, the number of older deer shot for the first time exceeded the number of young deer. And I'll get to that in a second. But the harvest was up about 10,000 deer. The economic impact of deer hunting in Illinois remains really important. In saying that, we are seeing a situation where the economic impact is in decline because there are fewer deer for people to pursue. So Director Rosenthal and his team have some decisions to make. How are they going to increase the deer herd so that hunters have the satisfaction of seeing more deer? And how are they going to do that in the face of an ever-increased lobby says we don't want more deer from both the Farm Bureau and from the insurance industry? This is not unique to Illinois, but the substantial decline in deer populations in Illinois provides the IDNR, Illinois Department of Natural Resources, with a unique challenge. On the subject of deer, for the first time ever, nationally, more adult buck deer were harvested than young deer. Since the deer population began to recover in the 1950s, 40s and 50s, and hunting moved back into the mainstream throughout the 70s and 80s and 90s through the early 2000s, there have always been more young deer harvested than adult three-year-old deer. That stopped, that ended for the first time in history this past fall. And what it appears is that the combination of individuals only wanting to shoot trophy deer has taken hold in such a way that hunters are absolutely refraining from shooting young deer. The other thing in that equation is it's possible that some of the deer populations have been impacted and have fallen so much that there are not the opportunity to shoot a lot of young bucks. That's a comment. It's not a scientifically proven statement. But what is scientifically known through the data is that for the first time ever, there were more older bucks harvested than young bucks. That means that the deer herds will continue to grow when it comes to trophy-sized deer. It also may, at some point, if that continues, result in an issue of too many younger deer. Right now in Illinois, as we commented on in Wisconsin, not an issue so much of too many deer, it's an issue of not enough deer. But anyway, after 70 years of deer management, for the first time ever, more adult bucks were shot than young. Moving on to the subject, which I think is really interesting, of butterflies. We certainly know that butterflies might be the canary in the coal mine, so to speak, but their numbers have declined from, it's estimated in pre-settlement times, that there were actually several billion, several billion butterflies in North America. And now it's believed their numbers are, and I don't know how they come up with these numbers, but they estimate that there's somewhere between 30 and 40 million butterflies. The decline in the butterfly population has been absolutely staggering. And I don't know how many of you remember in your youth, and it depends how old you are, of course, but in your youth, going outside in the summer and seeing butterflies, or in the spring and fall seeing butterflies. And they were pretty much an everyday occurrence. I grew up on a farm north of Chicago. We saw butterflies all the time. We didn't actually think anything about it. I mean, they were just everywhere. They're not anymore. And I have seen, because I'm aware of this because of the work I do and things like that, that I've paid attention. And the number of butterflies that I see now is dramatically reduced. And what they have found is that butterflies need trees. And without trees, butterflies cannot survive. And the enormous deforestation that is taking place in Central America and in Mexico and has taken place throughout much of the United States is the leading cause for the decline in butterfly populations. So the best scientists in the world say, if we don't have a lot of trees, we can't have a lot of butterflies. Hopefully what we can do, though, is we can have enough trees to not only maintain the butterfly population we have, but to increase it. So that wonderful monarch migration, which I talked about last fall when I saw monarch butterflies just hanging in the morning dew from a group of willow trees down in southern Illinois from a tangle that was, it was just, there were thousands of butterflies. Well, I guess if we had been around 100 years ago, those thousands would have been millions. So the butterfly is indeed the canary in the coal mine shafts. And if we don't do something, their population will continue to fall. And this bird, this butterfly, the many species that are intertwined with all of our outdoor heritage and our history will continue to decline. Next week when I come back, I'm going to talk about the genetics of dogs and where do they come from. And it might surprise you. They don't come, apparently, from where many of us thought they did, and that includes a lot of scientists. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter, your host on the Great Outdoors Show on WGN Radio 720.